Quat Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlick.
Legal sports betting, has it attacked your pocketbook yet? What about the pocketbooks of your college students or grandchildren? Well, as you look at the staggering growth in sports wagering, we're going to explore this issue on Encounter today. I'm Judy Redlick. We have two professors from Cedarville University in Ohio, and they say that $16.6 billion has been wagered alone in Ohio when it was legalized in 2023. So let's find out more. Are your kids and grandkids being affected? And what about you? Are you doing more sports gambling? Dr. Jared Pinson and Dr. Greg Thompson are my guests today. They're both professors at Cedarville University. Welcome to Encounter, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
So where are we? Tell us about the story right now in this whole wagering issue. It keeps growing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. A Supreme Court case was decided in 2018, and the court essentially struck down Nevada and a few other states who had some small-time gambling. Their kind of monopoly is the only states where you could gamble, and that opened up the possibility for every state to legalize sports gambling. And it has now happened in, I think we're at 39 if Missouri has legalized it. I didn't check as of this airing, but we're certainly at 38 states and growing, and there is very little regulation. We have seen in the past weeks some regulation coming from actually some of the leagues, along with working with the sports books. Now we've seen federal indictments of players and coaches in the NBA, of players in the Major League Baseball. And just in the past week, we saw a point guard from the University of New Orleans, so an NCAA basketball player, be banned by the NCAA. What's interesting is that player, Day-Day Hunter, has not been indicted, although I read articles that they were expecting an indictment as late as like late summer. So we'll see what happens with that. But what has happened now is we have an explosion with almost very little regulation occurring across the country. And that explosion is in advertising in the millions and billions and revenues of the same that Dr. Pinson can talk to you about.
So it's economic realities behind the industry that we are really seeing driving this whole thing about sports wagering, isn't it?
Yeah, you have an industry that is probably going to have about $150 billion this year wagered, and almost close to 95% of that is online, just to give your audience an idea of how this is occurring. But there is revenue streams for state governments. So for example, last year, governments brought in at the state level about $2.9 billion of tax revenue from this. You've got sports books that are, of course, making their profit. And depending on the sports book, it's somewhere between 7 to 10% of their profit from the wagers. And then you've got the leagues that are making money because they have these partnerships. So the only people that aren't making money really are the gamblers themselves.
Wow, that's incredible. So as you look at the economic reality and you look at the individuals involved, you see the benefits might outweigh the social costs, but is that really true?
That's certainly our position that that's not true. You know, people are, of course, getting into the gambling game, just talking about bettors, because they believe they can make money quickly. And it's what makes this issue so different is before, first of all, you had to go to a physical location to gamble. But two, you were also doing very specific games, roulette, poker, those types of things, casino games. And this sports gambling is just different. You're combining an activity, which in and of itself is perfectly fine and enjoyable. People like athletics. And that's something that people are now latching on to, adding something else to it. And that is kind of a dangerous combination. And that's really where our worry is. And it seems to us that state governments in particular have chased the revenue. That's where the discussion's always been. It's, hey, this is happening. We might as well tax it, without asking questions of what does this do to the members of their state? What does this do to individual people? And that's our worry.
And we are concerned as college professors, of course, because we have students who are subject to a billion-dollar marketing campaign. If you watch sports, you see this literally everywhere. In fact, yes, research shows that every 13 seconds, if you're watching a game, there's some type of advertisement. So us at Cedarville, we're Christians. We want to disciple our students well. The Bible has a lot to say in how we handle our money. And I just read a scripture, if you don't mind. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." So we started off by talking about Day-Day Hunter, and he has come out and made a statement out. Essentially, why did he gamble? He says, well, he wanted more money. I mean, essentially, that's what he said. There's a huge lure that you can make a lot of money. Now, how can you make the most money in sports gambling? They'll call it betting or gaming. We'll call it gambling. You can make the most money, potentially, if you get super lucky, from something called a parlay. That is what you're going to see advertised. The reason you're going to see it advertised is because you're picking multiple events in a game to occur. And if all of those hit, then you win. The sports books make the most money off these bets. The Wall Street Journal ran an article just this week just on that very issue. So if you think about what they're advertising, how much money they're spending on advertising, and then think about how would our young men, and they're targeting mostly young men. The data says, I think it's like 50 to 60% of men between the ages of 18 and 49 have a sports gambling app on their phone currently. I assume that's in states where that's legal. But having said that, our young men, especially in the church, which Dr. Pence has some great data on that as well, there's not a voice out there to say, hey, there's some real spiritual issues that we want to consider about how to handle money. Whether you're pursuing this with the wrong heart motive, just because of the love of money or trying to get rich, and understanding that all the money and resources that we have belong to God. Also, I'll end with this of why we care. Most of our young guys, they're risk takers. They like excitement. They like sports. Mm-hmm. We love sports,
yeah.
Right?
Young people do so, like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is kind of tailor-made, and I feel like the devil can get a stronghold here. The reality is people who bet, they don't just bet on one game anymore. They bet like multiple times in a game. They're trying to get them to bet all the time. But in a research study at UC San Diego, of 700,000 online gamblers, only 4% reported winning.
That's amazing. 4%.
That's it.
Wow. It seems like it's a predatory business model that's only out to make the rich richer and the poor poorer. Is that true?
Well, my personal opinion is that's true because of the behavior and how they make money. When you look at how they really make most of their money, it's off a very small percentage of gamblers, which even everyone would classify as problem gamblers. Mm-hmm. So this is between 1 and 10% of the people who are gambling so much money that they're problem gamblers. Also, they're very likely to be addicted. Gambling is a DSM-5 behavior, which gambling addiction is a serious addiction. It has a very high incidence of suicide. And also, when I say it's my personal opinion, these companies can bet limit anyone who's winning. So imagine that kind of business where if anyone actually is beating the house, they just cut them off. And then also they'll just text people incessantly, reading some anecdotal articles about how many texts and even gifts that they're given to continue gambling. These are probably your problem gamblers. Yeah. But
you know, you hear them all over. You hear about the free money, the apps, the promotion, the personalized odds. You hear them every time you turn on the radio, it seems, or, you know, Google Home. Every time you try to play something or do something, here are those ads. And they're so tantalizing. And they're not only affecting young people, but they're affecting people of all ages.
Yeah, and this is where we have to be careful. So these companies aren't doing anything illegal. So we're using the word predatory, not in the legal sense, but certainly they are engaging in activity that, again, we find troublesome. So just the idea that they are legally allowed to exclude people for any reason, and they're going to exclude people who are winning, just shows you that they want people to be losing. But at the same time, they need them to be engaged. Sportsbooks aren't making money because people are losing. They're making money by getting people to engage more often. So that's again why they have all these prop bets, which, if your audience doesn't know, these are like individual outcomes rather than just on the winner or loser of a game, or parlays, which is putting together multiple different bets into one bet. So yes, you can win a lot if you win parlays, but you're likely not going to win. So they're structuring things for engagement, because that's where they get their money. That they take what's known as the juice or the vig, which is just the difference between the money coming in and then what they have to pay out to those who have won their bets. So yeah, we find it problematic. And biblically, you know, we look at it this way. It's not a way to love your neighbor. So versus like a normal market transaction, I go to the store, I buy something, I'm giving you something of value, you're giving me something of value. Nobody loses in that transaction. But for gambling to work, somebody has to lose. And that's just not a good way to love your neighbor.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're going to have to take a break, but I'm going to be right back with the two professors from Cedarville University. And what we're going to talk about is the effect on the college students that they see every day, on their addictions, on mental health, on their ability to be students like they should be in college, or athletes. So we'll be right back. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Sports betting is what we've been talking about on Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich, Dr. Jared Pinson, economics professor at Cedarville University, and Dr. Greg Thompson, professor of criminal justice, are my guest.
So before the break, we were talking about a lot of things concerning the model of how this whole sports wagering is being brought into people's lives and how businesses are booming, but the local people who are gambling are really losing. What did you say about the percentage of people that lose when they do sports wagering?
Well, over the long term, the research says 95% of people will lose over the long term. So, and I want to point out that even professional handicappers are only winning at a clip of roughly 55%. Yeah, sometimes they get on hotter streaks than that. But when professional handicappers are winning slightly more than a coin flip, that should show you the problem with your casual person doing it.
Wow. So when you think about the college students that you teach, what are some of the things that you are seeing that are really interrupting the educational focus
Well, this is one thing we like to talk about the subject is because we are alarmed at one, who is the target audience for the gambling industry? And as we talked about last segment, is the NCAA is now going to allow college athletes to bet on pro sports. So that, again, it's just expanding the market. And we've got more young men that are now possibly going to be engaged in activity that can lead to addiction. And we're concerned about that. Here at Cedarville, Dr. Pence and I have hosted a couple like town hall type of forums where we talk about this. We just want to raise awareness and bring up the spiritual issues that exist here. And so that our students really consider what the risks are, what's really going on, and not just what they're being told by the advertisements.
And one of the problems is not gambling per se, but the fact that we have the ability to make most of these bets, again, with your phone. So one of the issues is that it's ubiquitous to, of course, have a smartphone. You're constantly online. People are scrolling. They're engaged with this. And now you have the opportunity to now gamble with your phone as well. And it feels like gamification, right? You think of something like any sort of game you download on your phone just for sort of spare time. These gambling apps, for some people, feel like that. So it's a confluence of different things coming together in one sort of bad stew or bad mix, if I can say that. And so that's concerning.
What about spiritually and mentally?
Well, the Bible has a lot to say about how we handle our money. It talks throughout the Proverbs about wise stewardship with the king's resources. So we're concerned. We want our students to understand that everything they have is from God. And if that's true, then how should they engage with something like this? Or should they engage at all with it? The Bible discourages our discontentment. Whereas if you look at some of the data on gambling, a lot of gamblers that lose, then they get into trouble because they chase losses. So you've heard the term, hey, double or nothing. So it's a lack of contentment, a lack of ability to control themselves on how they engage in this. Obviously, the promotion of the love of money or greed is sinful. So we want to make them aware of that. And then just the idea that as Christians, we don't want to lead our brothers into sin for them if they're struggling in that area. So those are spiritual issues we're concerned about.
So some of the things that you've done at Cedarville, you've had forums. What other things? Because maybe there are some people that are college professors that are listening, or some parents of kids who are in college. Things that other universities can do like you've been doing.
I think the biggest thing is to not pretend it isn't happening. So I have a paper with Dr. Kimberly Reeve, who is a colleague of mine at a previous university. She's at St. Peter's now. And we wrote about this exact topic, which is how can we just even have conversations? Because oftentimes we don't. We just don't want to talk about certain issues. I was at a conference several years ago just talking about sports gambling, and I had a professor at a Christian college stand up and go, that just doesn't happen here. Like, it just doesn't happen. And I said, but we know it's happening. This is a state where it's legal. And I actually challenged them in a polite way, as I could be, of, do you think people are watching pornography here? And he's like, well, of course that's happening. And I go, then this is happening as well. You know, it might not be happening as much. That's an empirical question, but we have to have honest conversations and just engaging it. That Satan loves keeping things secret.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just here to really just shine a flashlight of say, hey, if we can't even have the conversation, then we can't consider what the problem actually is. So that's the very first step that I would say, don't hide from it. Let's tackle it head on.
Well, and an addiction to gambling develops quietly, doesn't it? Financial stress, and maybe that's why an early intervention is so important, so the kid doesn't go down the road of gambling.
Yeah, so we've seen data where about 52% of people who have lost money are chasing their losses. So that just can show you how you can spiral. And as Professor Thompson mentioned in an earlier session, this is considered the first recognized behavioral addiction. So the Diagnostics and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders classifies, again, gambling addiction as a behavioral addiction. They consider it the same type of problem that you would group alcoholism or drug abuse. That's how serious mental health professionals consider it. And even though most people are not there, they're not considered an addict, we're just trying to wave the flag and saying, we don't even want to get you to that point. We want to prevent you from even getting close to that. So no, we're not chasing people around going, oh, you get a fantasy football league with your friends for $10. We're more concerned about just the activity in general. And so we try to be careful with that when we're trying to disciple, is the word we like to use here at Cedarville, disciple people so that we can get them along the right road.
What about the church's response to this whole issue?
I would say it's been disappointing as of right now. And I think part of it, again, is because we're afraid to talk about it. Lifeway Research did some surveys last year, and they found some numbers that we find quite shocking. So this is their research. They found that only 55% of Protestant pastors even find sports gambling to be morally problematic. So we're not even talking about whether they think it's sin or not, just is it morally problematic? Only 55% said yes. And more distressing was only a third would be willing to use private conversations to discourage people from doing that. So if we are not clear as a church, then it is not a surprise that our congregants are also going to be confused on the issue. And I think part of it, again, is we're thinking of gambling kind of in an older way. So do you want to hop in on that?
Yeah, I mean, this has been long held in Christian circles since I was a young boy as like something you just don't do and the church opposes. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. We had long debates on whether states could hold lotteries. Now we're to the point where, I mean, when Dr. Pinson says someone, the best handicapper wins 55% of the time, but then you add in parlays and prop bets and just continual betting and your chances of winning. That's why people don't walk away with money, because our young men are, generally young men, are not, they're not actually gambling on who wins the game. That might be a bet they have, but that's generally probably not what they're betting on.
Really?
So he's talking about the types of bets you can make. Most people still think of sports gambling as just picking the winner or the loser. But a lot of the bets anymore are on individual stats or actions in the game. And so it's really about chasing a dopamine hit more than anything. Ooh, I've got to stay engaged. So I'm going to pick this player. Is he going to hit a three-pointer in the second quarter? You can bet on that. And I got that bet down. Maybe I won that one. Well, now I'm going to get another bet here in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. So there are so many different ways that you can stay engaged. So that's kind of where he was going with.
Right. And for example, the indictment on the Cleveland Guardian pitcher, Emmanuel Clase, was one pitch in the sixth inning. That's what he threw a ball, and he told people he's going to throw a ball in advance so they could bet on whether he's going to throw a ball or not. To think of that spiritually, even if you are having fun. So when students, I'll read articles sometimes, well, it's just a lot of fun. And I could kind of follow the logic, is it's, I mean, my whole life I've loved sports, and I'll be like, this team's gonna win, watch. But that's not even I don't know if I've seen research, but I've seen enough anecdotes that just isn't the majority of what's being bet on anymore, which is surprising. I understand your response, because I would think you would bet on the outcome of the game. But again, think of how these sports books can make a ton of money. If it's just one bet on one game, well, what if it were 100 bets in one game? Well, that's where we've gotten. That's possible now.
Yeah, and we know that they're increasing their profit lately by these parlays, which is why that's what they're advertising. So we do see that in the numbers.
Dr. Jared Pinson, economics professor, Cedarville University, and Dr. Greg Thompson, professor of criminal justice at Cedarville University, are my guests. What do you encourage parents and teachers to do, and the kids themselves to do?
There's a secret nature about this. And as we're having this discussion, many aren't aware. So for example, we had a forum and a young lady came up and asked me, what can I do? I said, if you're dating someone, ask them if they have an online sports app on their phone. She was surprised, But I think that's good advice, is like, be aware, have a conversation, Dr. Benson.
Yeah, it's just about being open and being honest. Why are you doing what you are doing? So if you are engaging in sports gambling, be honest. What are you doing? Are you doing it because you are trying to pursue something fun, or are you doing it because it is a greed issue or even a lust issue, something like that? You just have to have hard, honest questions with yourself and with those that you love, because we live in a community. It's not just about us as individuals. We live in a society, and we want to be able to love our neighbors.
I'm Judy Redlick, covering the issue. This is Encounter. Thanks for joining me. See you next week.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlick, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlick.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlickspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlick's website, email her at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com.